My name is Terrence Robinson. I'm from Cornell University, and I was on leave for 3 years. And while I was gone, I had a wonderful group of postdocs and other scientists that did tremendous work, and I'm reporting on some of that work. And I want to acknowledge Pollyanna Francescato, who now works for Valent Biosciences, as the brains behind this. We had Bruno Cotta, who's here with us, as my new postdoc. Raise your hand, Bruno. He also did this work as a visiting scientist while I was gone. Guilherme Fontana is another visiting student from Brazil. Yang Chang is a visiting scientist from China in our lab this year. Daying Zhao is a visiting scientist from China. And then I'm the one doing the talking. Over the years, we have always said we don't lack fruit set in apples. Our problem is too many apples. And so fruit thinning is the big, big problem. However, with the introduction of a special variety called Sweet Tango, which its generic name is Minnesca, from the University of Minnesota, which is a club variety and only limited growers can grow, we started to run into too few fruits. This variety blooms profusely, but seems to self-thin. And to exacerbate the problem, it has a slight russeting problem, so we spray routinely gibberellic acid, ProGib, in a three-spray program starting at petal fall, and we've documented that that gibberellin gives some thinning, and so often you have this profuse flowering, and about a month later, people don't have enough fruits on the tree. Hence, we started this project to try to figure out why we're not setting the fruits that we wanted. And one of the concepts that Pollyanna had was possibly to look at flower ethylene. Now, flower-produced ethylene is not something that we would have thought of, but when we looked at the possible causes for this lack of fruit set on this variety, it could be due to a lack of pollinizers. This variety blooms early, but we generally have Ida Red in New York that's also an early bloomer. It could be other factors like maybe poor pollen receptivity, stigma receptivity. Perhaps the ovule is short-lived. We've done a lot of work with Regina cherry, where the ovule longevity is a problem, and with pear, a boss pear, and so that's what we thought of. And then we did figure out that GAs are impacting this. Well, just to get right to the results, we did a study, they did a study while I was gone in 2018 of four varieties looking at ethylene production of the flowers. And first, we'll look at Gala. It typically has very low ethylene production in the flowers, but right around bloom to a few days after bloom, there's a small peak of ethylene production and then it returns to very low levels. When we looked at Fuji, it was essentially the same pattern, very low ethylene production with a small peak. And when we looked at Honeycrisp, it also had a similar pattern, but with a delayed peak in production. When we looked at this Minnesca or Sweet Tango variety, it had a much more pronounced peak of ethylene production, also delayed. And so that led us to try to think about possibly this being an issue. Now, what parts of the flower are being stimulated to produce ethylene, we don't know. We take whole flower clusters, seal them in a chamber for 4 hours, and then measure gas headspace ethylene. We repeated this study in 2019 and added a few more varieties. The results are a little more complicated and not so clear-cut, but it still has some of the same results that I wanted to illustrate. Along the bottom of this chart are several varieties which have very low ethylene, and then we did several days before bloom, but then starting at bloom, which is day zero, we have small peaks of ethylene, and these include Gala, honey, which is the reddish line, Honeycrisp, and Fuji. However, there was a couple of varieties that produced much larger peaks of ethylene, and I would like you to notice the scale difference. In the previous slide, the scale was 8 or 9 parts per million. For the peak of Minnesca, here we're 60, 70 parts per million. The red line is again Minnesca, which showed the same sort of peak of ethylene, but much earlier, essentially a huge peak right at day zero, which was full bloom, and then declining to somewhere close to the baseline level by day eight. A couple other varieties that were odd that we really couldn't figure out was a new one from New York called Snapdragon, which had another big peak here, a little bit delayed, and then one called Evercrisp from the Midwest Fruit Variety Improvement Program. The causes as to the why it's such a high ethylene production in 2019 versus 2018, I'm not sure. We wonder whether one of the sprays we might have applied caused some damage to flowers, stimulating some ethylene. We did a lot of bloom thinning this year for Sharif and Greg, for your information, but these particular trees did not receive ATS or any other bloom thinner. Nevertheless, it still shows that possibly one of the issues for Minnesca or Sweet Tango is high ethylene production near bloom. That led us to try to figure out what we could do to improve fruit set. And so ABG, the trade name being Retain, is known to improve fruit set. In fact, we've done a fair amount of work with cherry in the past. And it was interesting when we did the cherry work, we tried different timings. And with cherry, unless we sprayed very early at the first flowers, we could not improve fruit set. So when we sprayed at full bloom or petal fall, we really couldn't impact fruit set. But spraying very early, we did. And Todd Einhorn, who's not here, unfortunately, I would like to applaud him. He did some great work on ovule longevity and showed that with Regina cherry, the issue is the ovule is short-lived, and Retain gives you a longer ovule life to get the pollen tube down to fertilize the flower. We did similar work with Bosque pear, and I have to credit Leo Rufato from Brazil, who had the idea for this, and then we did some work here, and Todd did some work in Oregon. It doesn't give us the same improvement in fruit set at bloom when we spray Retain, but it gives us about 10 days after bloom if we spray Retain. Then we get an improvement in fruit set. And so that leads to maybe possibly a different impact of Retain on flowering. And so I list here, with apple, it's been on the label, but we've never thought we needed it until now. But there's possibly two different things going on with AVG on fruit set. Todd's work on cherry showed that it does extend ovule longevity and prevents ovule senescence, giving time for the flower to be pollinized. However, our results with pear would lead us to think that maybe it's not really impacting ovule longevity, but impacting genes associated with the abscission zone formation. And for this, I go back to our wonderful colleague, Ron Kaiyuan from Virginia Tech, who unfortunately passed away at an early age, who did some gene activation work with Retain applied at harvest. Now, harvest and bloom are not the same thing, but at harvest, Retain downregulates certain abscission zone genes and prevents the formation of the abscission zone. And perhaps it's doing the same thing near bloom at this 10-day, 2-week period point after bloom. So one of the things that we wanted to look at was the timing of Retain on fruit set of Minnesca. So just real quickly, in 2017, when we did the first study, we did one pouch at either full bloom, at petal fall, or at 2 weeks after petal fall. And first I show the ethylene data from that retained study. And you can see that there was the control had a peak of ethylene. In this case, it was quite late, 20 days after full bloom. But I would hasten to add that 2017 was a very cold year, and so flowers develop slowly. And so I think that how warm the temperatures are at bloom determines when this peak of ethylene is going to occur, and in 2017 it was very late. Retain in that year, in a very cool year, it had some impact when sprayed at full bloom. It had some impact, the green line, when sprayed at petal fall. But when we sprayed it 2 weeks after, the ethylene production was already low, and so it really didn't influence anything at all. What did it do in terms of fruit set? When we sprayed at Retain at full bloom, there was a numeric improvement in fruit set, but not a statistically significant improvement. Neither at petal fall, but this relatively late, at least for in our thinking, Retain application at the 10 millimeter stage did significantly improve fruit set in that year, which is a very cold year, which leads me to think that possibly in that year we were impacting genes associated with abscission zone formation, not necessarily ovule longevity. Well, we repeated that study in a different orchard, and also in 2017, where we looked at half rates, and just for time, I'll just go quickly to some of the results. This is we didn't do ethylene on this study, but in the fruit set, all of these light-colored bars were the half rate of Retain, either at pink, full bloom, or petal fall, and none of them improved fruit set significantly. However, if we put a full rate of Retain on, either at pink, it didn't improve significantly, or at full bloom, but at petalfall, now we had a significant improvement in fruit set, or at the 10 millimeter. Interestingly to us, if we did half rate of Retain at full bloom, followed by another half rate at 10 millimeter, where we got the best and most significant improvement in fruit set, which would lead us to sort of conclude that Retain is influencing probably both ovule longevity and this abscission zone formation genes that cause pre-blossom drop. Another results in 2018. Here's the ethylene data from that year. It's also fairly interesting that we sprayed at full bloom, and the red line is the control. So ethylene went up in 2018, having a peak 8 days after bloom, but this lower line is what we sprayed at bloom. It reduced ethylene production, and it started to wear off apparently about 10 days after, but by that time all ethylene levels were dropping. When we sprayed at pink petalfall, which is at this point in time, the triangle lines show the impact. It did reduce ethylene, and by this 10 days there was significant reduction with the control and then back to baseline levels. However, when we sprayed at 12 millimeters, that's this square line, it was basically the same as the control all the way through. So when we look at the fruit set data in that year, in 2018, the biggest impact on fruit set was what we sprayed at full bloom. And there you could associate it with the reduction in ethylene. The other two timings at petalfall and 10 millimeter had a numeric improvement in fruit set, but not a statistically significant improvement in fruit set. Now this year in 2019, our two visiting scientists from China did a similar study where we looked at Retain at in a year with extremely high ethylene levels in the flower, 70 parts per million. And you can see that at full bloom, we had some impact of reducing ethylene from Retain. And these are this line here, the 132 milligrams and the 264 are the lowest lines. And that effect of Retain continued for about 4 days. But after 4 days, ethylene levels were similar to the control. When we sprayed later at petalfall, there was really no impact of those sprays on ethylene production. So, in conclusion, our results to date would indicate that it's interesting because I didn't really realize that flowers produced ethylene. But all varieties seem to have a short burst of ethylene production that sometimes is around day 6 to day 12, excepting in this last year, 2019, when it was more close to bloom. The size of that peak varies with year and is probably related to the weather conditions. I don't discount that it could also be due to some caustic chemical that might be impacting and damaging flower parts, stimulating ethylene production. Number three, the application of AVG at bloom or petalfall or 10 millimeter size has reduced the size of the ethylene peak produced by apple flowers or fruitlets. The best timing so far with AVG application varied with year. Sometimes we got the best response at bloom, sometimes at 10 millimeters. But that split application timing has given us great improvement in fruit set and may be the best way to go, since I think we're doing two different things. In some years, extending ovule longevity would be very important. But lastly, that second aspect of inhibiting the activation of genes involved in the incision zone formation may be important in other years. Thank you very much for your attention.
The repeated application, was it also for the following year's bloom? Was it effective to return bloom?
Yes, we've evaluated return bloom, but the odd thing about this variety, it blooms heavy every year. It is not biennial like Honeycrisp. And so we've essentially seen no difference in return bloom, but every year it's been above 80% return bloom.
So the fun part is it's blooming, but not setting.
Not setting. Yeah. So I never thought we'd need this in apple, but I appreciate Valent having it on the label. It's helpful.
Terrence, how much do you think temperature during bloom is affecting the results here, year to year, warm years versus cool years in terms of pollen tube growth? affecting the results you're getting from the application timing?
I think temperature at bloom has a big impact. On cool years, we've had this experience with other types of chemicals and thinning and so forth, and especially the fruit growth model. The fruit growth response is much elongated. It takes 2 weeks. For example, we published a 15-year study recently with showing the period of bloom. And in warm years in Geneva, it can be as short as 6 days. But in cold years, it can be as long as 20 days between the first bloom and petal fall. And I think that has a huge impact on when we get the ethylene peak and also the intensity of the peak.
Yes, you might be able to model ethylene to
maybe
temperature,
mm-hmm,
to figure out your application timing.
That might be. Excellent idea. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Terrence.